Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 10, which reads, "Your witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." And we've been looking for the last couple of weeks at this verse and how the Apostle Paul is speaking here related to the behavior that himself, Silas, and Timothy demonstrated in this assembly in Thessalonica, and how this behavior was a pattern for them to actually be able to look and see that this is what God intends for a member of the body of Christ to be able to do these things, behave in this manner, if they are applying the doctrine to themselves in the right way. And we were looking last time at this idea of, as the Apostle Paul puts it, how holily, and we looked at how, you know, what it was that the Apostle Paul was saying with this, and how we left off with this, the issue of that the Apostle Paul knew that it was very important for them to actually be seen in this manner as the representation of what God wants in this dispensation. Now, we're here in 1 Thessalonians. If we look back at chapter number 1 and verse number 7, it says, "So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And when we looked at chapter number 1, we looked at how the Apostle Paul, using that term ensample, that pattern for those who are members of the body of Christ in Macedonia and Achaia, those two places where he's speaking of, and how these saints in Thessalonica were a pattern based on what it was that they were doing in their life. That pattern starting with the fact that they put their trust in the gospel for this dispensation, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting our trust in that and that alone is what gives somebody salvation today. That's the starting point. That's where the doctrine is built upon. And as the doctrine is built upon that, it has an impact on how a person lives their life. And laying out what Paul says and how he describes himself in his life. When we look at things of him describing himself as the pattern that individuals are supposed to be looking at. If we go over to 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, to where we see the Apostle Paul use this term here. And we're going to start here, verse number 15 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, the pattern that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that pattern has nothing to do with salvation. Because if that pattern had to do with salvation, we would all have to be waiting for what would be that, as individuals call it, the Damascus Road experience. The events that you see recorded in the very beginning of Acts chapter number 9, where the Lord Jesus Christ appears in heaven's glory to Saul of Tarsus, who does become the Apostle Paul, and brings that salvation through that appearance. If that pattern was that, then we would all have to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear to us from the heavenly places. That's not what that pattern is. The pattern is what the Apostle Paul lays out. Why go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 here? Because we're going to see Paul describe this pattern here in this verse. We're going to read the very first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The pattern is how the Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are different ways in Scripture for individuals to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. A person could follow the Lord Jesus Christ as laid out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you look at what it says over in the Gospels, you know, we're salvation of the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ says he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. The young man comes and asks what he has to do to be saved. And the answer is to keep the commandments, telling them to keep the law. Over and over again, taking individuals back to exactly the program that was going on, the information that had been given to the nation of Israel, all dealing with the covenants that had been made with the nation. That's one way to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is by the information that's been given directly to the Apostle Paul. They had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It's only now being revealed to us today through the books of Romans through Philemon. That's the information that gives us the pattern that if we apply that doctrine to ourselves, we will be followers of the Apostle Paul as he was of Christ. Taking in that doctrine is going to have the impact on our lives, and it's going to allow us to behave in that holy manner that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. Let's go over into the book of Philippians. We'll go to Philippians chapter number 2. To see something else that the Apostle Paul says here in this chapter, dealing with how it is that individuals are supposed to be demonstrating the doctrine that has been given to us here. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15. It says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in a world." The world that we're living in today can be summed up in those five words there: a crooked and perverse nation. The world is against the things of God. It doesn't take very long for an individual to figure out what the world is really geared towards. The world is geared towards everything that is contrary to God. That's why, you know, because everything that's contrary to God is darkness, we're to be the lights shining in this world, holding forth the truth of what God is doing today. As we're holding forth that truth, how we live our life is going to have a real demonstration. It's going to have a real impact on individuals. That's why Paul understood that his behavior was really going to, you know, have an influence not only on, you know, the saints, but it was going to have an influence on those who were not saved. And that's why he holds up this assembly and tells them that this is how they're living their life and how they're supposed to be living their life. And he uses it, not only are they supposed to be living their life holily, the next phrase that he uses to describe it is that they're to be living justly. And that's another thing of an impact on their behavior as well. And the definition of that word justly is in conformity to law, justice, or propriety. Now, unfortunately, this is not something that everybody could actually say about themselves, that they are conforming to the things of the law. you know, individuals, you know, as believers, you know, the real unfortunate thing is that people will use the idea of being a believer as an excuse to not follow certain things of the law. You know, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm a citizen of heavenly places. And because I'm a citizen of heavenly places, I shouldn't have to follow certain things of the law. And so they'll do things of, you know, well, you know, I don't have to pay any taxes at all. Because, you know, since my citizenship is in heavenly places, the only tax I have to pay is my tithing to the church, because that's where all my money should be going. And, you know, I don't have to give any money to the government. And then they wonder why all of a sudden they're being punished for having it happen and having their testimony having been impacted by the fact that everybody sees that they've been not paying their taxes. Another way that individuals says, you know, they get the jury duty notice in the mail and they say, well, you know what, I'm a citizen of heavenly places. And, you know, I shouldn't have to serve jury duty. And so they try to figure out a way to avoid it. You know, I knew one individual who actually wrote a very lengthy letter to, you know, the commissioner of jurors in their area after they had received a jury duty notice. And, you know, pages and pages of all this information about how they were a citizen of heavenly places and that they didn't have, that they shouldn't have to do this. And then they were, you know, almost holding it as a victory for themselves that they were actually able to avoid jury duty as a result of this letter. You know, not really realizing that instead of it actually having the impact that they thought they were having of, you know, by doing this, I'm going to have, you know, a positive influence on the things of the world. The reality of what happened is they wrote this letter and the individuals who wrote it looked at it and said, well, we don't want this person anywhere near a jury because, you know, if this is what their thought process is, you know, they're so far out there, you know, and the other reality is if that's what is going to be equated to Christianity. So even if somebody is trying to do the right things, trying to follow all of these things, that when somebody sees the wrong things being done, it immediately gets labeled as that this is what Christianity is all about. And these are the things that have that bad influence on individuals being able to get the gospel message out to individuals. The gospel message really needs to be getting out to this lost and dying world because individuals are dying without the hope that God intends for them to have. As part of us being able to get this out, we need to be seen as living a life that's holy. We need to be seen as living a life that's just. And as part of that, we also have to have the life that the Apostle Paul calls in that third term when he says, unblameably. Now, when we look at that term, you know, Paul is saying that there's no blame that can possibly be laid to their behavior. Now, when you say this, the immediate thing that individuals see is, well, Paul's describing as living a perfect life without any problems. That is not what the Apostle Paul is actually saying about the life of a believer. Because the reality is nobody other than the Lord Jesus Christ was able to live a quote-unquote perfect life. The Apostle Paul describes the struggles that he himself had in this. I want to go over to Romans chapter number 7. So we're going to see Paul describe the struggle that he had in his life related to this behavior. And when we read this, individuals will try to put this as Paul describing himself prior to his salvation. Paul is describing himself as a saved individual having the struggle that we're going to read here in these verses in his life. Romans chapter number 7, I'm going to start here at verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's why I said when we come to the conclusion of that passage that this is why people say this is Paul describing himself prior to his salvation, because Paul makes it very clear about how he had a struggle in his life of that there were things that he knew he should do. He knew what the doctrine was. The Lord Jesus Christ was revealing to him all of the doctrine that he was giving to us. So he knew all the things that he was supposed to do. But he identifies the fact that there was a struggle that was going on in his life, that he had the flesh, because he's still walking around in a fleshly body, that was in conflict with the things that were inside of him, inside of that renewed mind that he describes over in Romans chapter number 12, that the flesh is struggling against that renewed mind and trying to get him to do the things that he would not. What he's really admitting here is that there are times when he does the right thing. There's times when he doesn't do the right thing. And that he can see very clearly what's going on in this. Now, he also makes it clear that it's not him that's doing it. You know, he's not identified in the things of the flesh that he's talking about. Because if he was identified in those things, the very next chapter in the book of Romans talks about how, you know, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. It talks about how there's nothing but condemnation that's in the flesh. So it's very clear that those things are not, you know, who he is, but yet he still has to deal with those things on a day-to-day basis because he walks around in a fleshly body. That's why you see him describe the things over in the, as he writes to the church at Corinth related to some things about behavior. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 to see what the Apostle Paul is going to say to this assembly here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we're going to read here verse number, starting at verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And so you see the Apostle Paul start to lay out all of these different things, you know, these different behaviors, saying that the people who are doing those behaviors are identified in those things when he's talking about, you know, fornicator. So people who are performing the acts of fornication being identified in that. Idolater. So people who are performing idolatry being identified because of that idolatry. Now, he also says in verse number 11, such were some of you. Now, he doesn't say that they've stopped doing those things. He's talking about the fact that their identification has changed because of the fact that they're now identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Because, you know, there's no law that says I shouldn't do those things. However, it's not expedient. It's not going to be bringing about the best things in my Christian life if I am doing, you know, those things that he's speaking about here, because those things that are contrary to what God would have me to do. Those are the things that are going to build the wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the things that are going to have that negative impact on the testimony as I'm trying to instruct individuals in the gospel message for today. Now, he says that those things have a power over individuals. And we see that, you know, individuals that start doing those things, that it truly is a power that is over them, because as they keep doing those behaviors, they keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, because it is becoming part of, you know, their normal pattern of behaviors. The only thing that's going to cause a change in it is the Word of God taking root in them, having an impact on who they are, to allow for that change to occur. As long as we're here in the book of 1 Corinthians, let's go over to chapter number 10. Because we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to say something very similar to what he just said here in chapter 6 related to these things. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I want to read here verse number 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And that's really what the issue is about the things when Paul says about being unblameably, the things that we are supposed to do are supposed to be edifying unto other individuals. It's supposed to be able to build them up. And Paul says that all things do not edify. You know, so there are certain things that a person can do that are going to have that negative impact on other individuals, that instead of building them up, it's going to tear them down. It's going to have that really bad impact on who they are as members of the body of Christ, or it's going to have an impact on them accepting the gospel message, because the world wants to see Christianity fail. You see that when, you know, a person who proclaims themselves to be a Christian and they do something wrong, how that makes news over and over again. Now, a person who could do the exact same thing, not identifying themselves as a Christian, and chances are it doesn't even make the news, because, you know, well, everyone's doing it. But we're going to hold up this Christian who does this bad thing and say, well, see, they're no better than anybody else. And if they're no better than anybody else, then there's no truth in what it is that they're teaching. There is truth in the Word of God rightly divided. We need to be able to apply that to our lives. We need to be able to have that have an impact on who we are, so that way we can truly be behaving, as Paul describes it here, behaving holily, justly, and unblameably. Now, We're going to continue looking at this thought process in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our services live on Facebook as they happen on Sunday mornings. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. So, you know, we would love to have you join us as we study God's Word. And as always, if you ever have any questions about anything that's on our website, anything that's in any of our messages, anything that's in any broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.